again nightmare society. We have a tornado warning and 100% chance of thunderstorms the entirety of today. So I thought some thunderstorm ambiance would be fun. I hope you enjoy. As I mentioned at the end of the podcast last week, there's now a Nightmare Society members only campfire. You can find it at patreon.com/nightmare society. There's different levels of membership options available and different perks that go along with them. I share a lot of the creepy stuff I run across, and some of the tiers have access to early access commercial-free episodes, as well as bonus content and much more. So if you're looking for a way to support the podcast and would love some extra Nightmare Society in your life, we'd love to have you as an official member. As per usual, a huge thank you to user wondering_1 and user SpookyGen for allowing me to share their stories. Now, get comfy and prepare yourself for another episode of
The Nightmare Society.
This happened to me and the man I was dating back in the late spring of 2000. I'm an avid and experienced urban explorer. I've visited many different abandoned sites. This place I'm writing about has been explored several times by others since, but when I visited it, it wasn't a common known location, and all the buildings were still intact except for the main house, which had, from what I had heard, burned, leaving nothing but the outer stone wall. Nothing but the outer wall remains. All of the other buildings were torn down since I was there. To more recent urban explorers, it's known as the Stone Castle, and more recently the Osler Castle. This is the name given by the Heritage Society that has decided to fix it up. When my boyfriend at the time discovered it, he saw it in the distance from a roof he was working on in Oro Medonte, Ontario. There was, but not anymore, a large barn, a carriage house, and towards the back of the property, a stable. The first weekend we both had off together, we made the hour drive to explore it. The property was absolutely stunning. On the top of a hill back from the road, you could almost imagine living surrounded by such beauty. And we did exactly that. The house itself was gone except for the wall. And if you looked in the basement window, you could see an old stove laying amongst the wreckage. You could tell it had been a beautiful home at one time, to whomever owned it. Being the explorer I was, I insisted that we investigate every single corner of every single building that was on the property. And although my ex was less than enthusiastic about it, I still insisted. I honestly did not see the point of driving an hour just to look at the outside of the buildings. No, I had to go in the buildings. The first building we explored was the barn, both upstairs and down. Down in the basement of the barn is where things went from wow to holy crap really fast. In the basement, it had been used as a place for satanic sacrifices. There was satanic artwork all over. A knife with what appeared to be blood on it, and an altar with black candles, and a bottle of what smelled like blood. The most disturbing piece was that whatever satanic group was using it, they had built a makeshift cage out of the silo, with chains inside and everything. My boyfriend at the time wanted to get the heck out of there as fast as possible, but I convinced him to stay so we could explore the rest of the buildings on the property. I told him it probably was just a bunch of kids screwing around. No big deal, right? Wrong. Our next stop was the stables at the back of the property, and honestly, I was so caught up in my love for exploring that he would not have been able to persuade me to leave without going in every single building, no matter what. I opened the door into the stable and the smell hit me. Rotting flesh. And the entire room was littered with animal corpses. Dogs, cats, rabbits, even coyotes and foxes. They had been horribly mutilated. It was absolutely the worst thing I have ever laid my eyes on. As soon as my boyfriend saw that, he grabbed me and said that we were leaving right at that very moment, and that killing animals is not stupid kids doing stupid things. This was some serious stuff. So we started to leave, but there was still one more building. I desperately wanted to check it out on the way out of the carriage house. He said no effing way we were going there and just stomped off up the hill back to the main house, assuming that I would follow. I did not follow. I went around the hill by myself and took a quick peek at the carriage house. The carriage house was anticlimactic. It had absolutely nothing in it. It was actually a good thing that I snuck off like I did, because if I hadn't, we wouldn't have seen them coming. They would have been able to sneak up on us as we were coming up the hill, and do God knows what to us. The first one I noticed was an adult male with a baseball hat. He actually had opened our car door and was rifling through things in our car, trying to find a key, I'm guessing. There were about 8 people in total in the group, ranging from adults, I would say, in their 30s to teenagers and children, no more than 12 or 13 years old. They all had weapons, golf clubs, sticks, a cane, and baseball bats. I yelled at the guy,
"What the hell do you think you're doing going through our car?"
And then my boyfriend came charging over the hill. Bless his heart, right through the posse of creeps and weirdos who seemed to be lying in wait for us. It appeared that we had ruined whatever plans they had in mind, because they immediately backed off. Some even tried to hide their weapons behind their backs, which was just stupid if you ask me. Who wouldn't notice a baseball bat behind someone's back? Baseball bat guy demanded to know what we were doing there, and I demanded to know what the heck he thought he was doing in our car. To which he had no answer. He just looked at me all nervous. My ex-boyfriend said we were just admiring the architecture of the house and that we were just leaving, and they let us get into our car and drive off. Which in itself was a miracle, I'd say, in light of what we had discovered on the property. They followed us in a black pickup truck with no plates for a good 20 minutes. Instead of heading for home, we went to the closest city, which was Barrie, Ontario. We filed a report with a policeman who seemed more shaken than us, and headed home. My ex never went back to that roofing job again. He had someone else finish it, and he went on to another one. I wanted to go back, but after telling people what happened, I couldn't find anyone to go with me. My ex and I continued various explorations, but we both started carrying knives. I still carry one to this day, even when I hike. I haven't read of anyone else having similar experiences at Satan's Castle. Recently, my cousin, who is also an explorer, contacted me with a place she wanted to explore. Guess where? And guess what? We've made arrangements to go there in the next couple of weeks. So on that note, and many years later, Satan's Castle cult, let's hope we don't meet again. And to any other urban explorers out there, please be careful. You never know what you might come across in these abandoned places. This happened about 7 years ago. I was 16 years old at the time and was home alone with only my younger sister, Nadine, who was 9 years old at the time. Our only parent was my mom. She worked a full-time graveyard shift, 10 p.m. to 7 a.m., and we had easily become accustomed to it because we usually would be asleep or at school whenever she was working. Every night was the same. Get home from school, homework, shower, say bye to mom, and sleep. Often, me and my younger sister would stay up late despite my mother's orders, but nothing crazy ever happened. We lived in an upstairs two-bedroom apartment. At night, me and Nadine would barricade ourselves in our mother's room, lock the door, and sleep. We were always too scared to sleep in separate rooms. Our mother had the key to every door in the apartment. This specific night, me and Nadine were in the living room watching yet another Family Guy episode. It was getting late, closer to midnight, and we definitely had school the next day. As we were preparing for bed, someone knocked on the front door of the apartment. Now, this apartment complex had two doors. One metal door on the outside, and then the door made of wood, which was technically inside. Therefore, one would need to unlock two doors before they could get in. I looked at Nadine.
Is mom home early?
I put my ear to the door. Then they knocked again.
Who is it?
I said through the door. No response. I ordered Nadine to call mom. No answer. I looked through the peephole and couldn't see anything. It was dark, and whoever it was wasn't tall enough for me to even see a silhouette. Nadine went to unlock the door.
Stop!
I yelled. My mom always told me she would call for an emergency, and she has the keys to the apartment. She would have no reason to knock. Before I could come up with a plan, whoever was on the other side of the door began pounding on the door. They were no longer knocking. It sounded like someone banging on the door with a closed fist. As if on cue, Nadine and I ran to my mother's room and locked the door. Nadine began to cry. I tried to console her, but I was scared too. I waited a few moments in hopes that they would go away or my mom would call to yell at us to open the door. About 2 minutes passed and my mother called us back. She saw that we called and took her break as soon as she could to call us. She was at work. I told her about the knocking and she urged us not to exaggerate. Whoever it was gone for now and we were okay. She blamed it on perhaps a lone drunk or someone looking for trouble. Regardless, do not open the door. She hung up and we got into bed. I was tossing and turning. It had been almost an hour since the knocking first began when suddenly Nadine and I shot up out of bed. The knocking was now at our bedroom door. There were no lights on in the apartment, which spooked me even further. Who was in our home? I called my mom and she answered on the first ring and I nearly yelled at her. I was in tears. beyond scared. Nadine had hid in the closet. While my mom was on the phone, they pounded on the door again. And I extended my arm out with the phone in my hand so she can hear. The pounding was so intense. I felt that at any moment now they would break the lock on our door and rush in. She called 911 and came home that night. When she reached the front door, both doors were locked. The officers searched the home for any signs of entry, which wasn't likely, since we were on the upstairs level. Nothing was ever found. Nadine and I still talk about this stuff sometimes, because if it hadn't happened to both of us, I don't think anyone would ever believe us. I know I wouldn't believe it. Yikes. Thanks again to user Wondering One and user Spooky Jen for allowing me to share their stories. Don't forget to check out the members only campfire at patreon.com/nightmare society. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.
Sweet dreams.